Don't hassle the Musk. All right, welcome back.
What's up? Hey, good to see you guys again.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of follow-up, so let's go ahead and get started. Last week we talked about the Magic the Gathering arena client for Android entering early access, and so I found out probably why your why it didn't show up on the Play Store for you, Adam, and it's because they are limiting it to, well, actually no, I don't know why it didn't show up for you on the Play Store, but I have a link for it in the show notes, and I also have a mobile FAQ that answers any questions. So if anybody's trying to play it and they're getting issues or it doesn't show up or won't install, it could be a good indication on what's going on there, because they're actually targeting higher end devices. And so I don't know if it'll actually work on some lower end devices. So I wanted to put that in there just as a little bit of follow up from last week.
Cool. I'll check it out, see if I can figure it out on my phone.
Yeah, and the next bit of follow-up is some more electric car follow-up. I don't think we might have to have a recurring segment here. Every week we've got some kind of electric car follow-up.
Feels that way, right?
Yeah. So Tesla came out with their earnings, I believe, last week or recently, and they have a dirty little secret was the title of the article. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So Tesla actually makes more money from other automakers buying zero emissions credits from Tesla.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So over the last 5 years, Tesla's made $3.3 billion from these zero emissions credits purchases from other automakers. And in 2020, they actually made 50% of that $3.3 billion. Their net income in 2020 was $721 million. So if they didn't have any of the zero emissions credits purchased from them by other automakers who can't make zero emission cars right now, they would actually be in the red. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because they're making their cars at a loss, basically.
Yeah. So that's because what's crazy is the stock price. And obviously, like, we can go back and forth all day about stock price not really being representation of real life, but it's really interesting that their stock has just blown up, even though technically you're right. Like, they're not, they're not as profitable as you would think with the actual product. It's everyone trying to be neutral by buying all those credits for them. That's really crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like the console market, right? Where they sell the consoles for their set price, but they don't really make the money on it, but they bank on the services and the software to run it.
Yeah, and I guess in their financial statement, Tesla said that they know that they're not going to be able to rely on these, like, in the future as a source of income. But it made me think, if Tesla can't pivot and start to make cars at a profit and not at a loss, then what happens to them when the other automakers come out with their electric cars? They're just going to tank.
Well, I will say that they've been looking at the batteries as, like, their other set of technology, right, is improving the battery space. So I could see them maybe pivoting to be more of a, you know, battery, like, technology, either leasing of the technology or selling the batteries to other manufacturers, given that, you know, again, as we've talked about, all these other manufacturers have these goals of getting to, you know, X percentage of their vehicles either hybrid or fully electric by certain date. In order to get there, like, the manufacturing has to be in place. And that's kind of what Tesla's been doing with their giant factories and their, when they had their battery event. I know it was, people felt like kind of fizzled, but it's because they of course, they hyped it up really big, and it was, you know, everyone thought it was going to be this, you know, life-changing battery technology, and really it was just some, like, hey, here's the steps forward that we're making, and these are all good things. We don't have anything, you know, concrete yet, but kind of the, like, vision of, you know, creating a battery factory with a lot less footprint. Like, that's incredible. Like, you could put those in a lot more places. You have less staff to run them, and it, you know, increases the output. So I could see them really getting into that market, maybe, if the cars don't make them money ever. So
no, I mean, as soon as they stop making money and they tank, they're just going to pack their crap up and go to Mars.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a good exit strategy, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess continuing on with the electric cars, there was a couple rumors this week about the prospective Apple car. The first one was that they're rumored to sign a $3.6 billion deal with Kia. They were in talks with Hyundai, which owns Kia. But the first rumor came out, said they were having like issues with their deal, that Hyundai didn't want to have control, or didn't want to relinquish any control. But now it kind of seems like that they'll be, working with Kia, I guess, on making a car, because Kia is used to, I guess, being told by Hyundai, like, what they should produce. So that seems to indicate that there's, you know, we're getting closer to an Apple car. And the other thing that was interesting, the second rumor was that the first version will, quote, not be designed to have a driver. And I find that extremely hard to believe, considering that, like, Tesla has, you know, touted their self-driving cars for years, and they're not self-driving. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a long time before we ever have any kind of self-driving cars.
Yeah. Now, I guess I could see if by, like, the first edition, what they mean is something maybe for, like, a factory application, or kind of like Amazon has those robots, right? Maybe it's something like that. But yeah, I don't, why would you make the first thing that you do totally autonomous when, like you said, it's going to be a long time, and Tesla's had a bunch of issues, right? And there's ethical issues with autonomous, you know, driving and things like that, that they'd have to deal with right away.
Yeah, in the article, it did say that they were focusing. I don't know actually the validity of this part of the information, but that they were targeting the last mile, and so, you know, not highway driving, I guess, and they were targeting ride sharing and, like, grocery delivery type services. So this could just be like a fleet that they ended up making in, you know, partnering with another company like Instacart or Uber or something like that, which I there's no way I can imagine Apple partnering with Uber, maybe Lyft, and then I guess using their cars for that purpose. But it just seems like a lot of money to spend for what?
Yeah, that's, I almost view this as, it's like a test of the technology that they would use for other things, right? Like their sensor technology, their machine learning technology, like those kinds of things, just using this application and, you know, using it as the test bed for it, which, yeah. Do you really need to, like, go that far to test something like that? Like a consumer level thing.
But yeah, Adam, I mean, being the Tesla, maybe are you the largest Tesla fan out of the three of us? You know, what do you think?
Tesla fan, hard to say. Have interest in, like, the Cybertruck and such of that nature, but I can't say that I'm, you know, going out and buying t-shirts and stuff like that on it. I do think that they have a cool product. I think that some of the stuff is very clean, and I like the basic look of the insides. Like, very, it's not over the top, but I can't say I'm a fan.
Well, I was more asking about these Apple Car rumors. Like, no driver in the seat.
Oh, I mean, I don't think we're going to get there for sure. There's too much that rides in where accidents happen and how people are tried for those situations. And I can even tell you now, I've got a Honda, and with their assisted driving and stuff, they want to make sure to it that it's something that you consciously turn on every time you get in the car. So you're committing to it. So I don't know. I feel like it's not going to happen, but maybe it will. Maybe it will.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla is, you know, slowly taking away more and more of the steering wheel with every version of their cars.
I knew you were going to bring it up. I love that you brought it up. Okay. Yeah, Adam, how do you feel about that steering wheel? The
Model S 2021 redesign.
Okay. I mean, I'm the first to admit that it's cool looking. Yes, it is a cool looking, but it's not practical for being on a road. I mean, if I'm trying to take a hard turn or something, that, you know, you can't do your slide hand around kind of situation. It's like a track wheel. So
I'm wondering if it's digital assist though. I didn't read if it was to where you're not actually having to turn it all the way around, right? Where you're,
I didn't see any mention of that, but I thought that maybe like they would just chalk it up to like, oh, just let the car, you know, navigate that turn for it. It's like, hey Tesla, oh shit.
Well, I mean, like, I think that's just another point of failure, though, if that is what, you know, what you have to rely on versus your physical strength. Even if you don't have power steering, you can still, it's hard as hell, but you could still effort in control the car. But if it's something that's assisted through another AI or mechanism of that nature, then that's just a point of failure that if it fails...
Yeah, I think that all of the Teslas are fly-by-wire. I don't think any of them are actually.
But I think with this, it's just Musk trolling everybody. He wants to be Knight Rider. I think that's what this is. He wants to be David Hasselhoff.
Don't hassle the Musk.
That's right.
I mean, the Cybertruck looks cool, though. I know a lot of people hate on it. They think it looks ugly. But I'm one of those ones that think it looks pretty cool. Y'all laughing your asses off over there, but
Ryan just like threw his head down into his microphone.
I'm sorry, I can't get behind that thing.
Yeah, I like it. I like the design.
Different strokes, man. It's fine.
That's true, but I think that's, yeah, I mean, I like the Blade Runner look, that cyberpunk thing, and I know it doesn't exactly fit with our modern day, but it just brings those, you know, designs. It looks cool.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a truck.
So, yeah, that's that. The last bit of follow-up that I had is I've got some good news, but I've also got some bad news. So I was finally able to get Plex Arcade working after my subscription ran out.
Oh, dang.
Yay. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had to pay the $3. And get it hooked up again. And I was able to fix my black screen issue. The forums on the Plex Arcade forums are like on fire with like questions and tips and stuff. And it's finally, some of the issues that I've had are starting to like get answered on there. And the black screen issue was something so stupid. You have to unzip your Super Nintendo ROMs. It won't read the .zip files.
Ah.
So, yeah. So after I unzipped it.
I've had that before.
Yeah, they all ran fine. Even though they ran fine in RetroArch without being unzipped. Yeah, so that fixed the issue. But then I came across another issue that I have not been able to resolve. And after I play a game, I have to restart the Plex server.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. So every time I was actually playing a N64 game on my iPhone earlier, and I went through like the menus and stuff, and I was like, all right, cool. Now I'm going to go play Super Mario or something. And I went to go play it, and it just spins and spins and spins. And so I don't know what's going on there. I did move my server from macOS to Windows. So I don't know if that's what the issue is, but because I wasn't seeing that when it was on macOS, so it could be like a Windows specific bug. I don't know. But yeah, so that was the bad news.
Yeah, I wonder if your emulator or something's just getting hosed up and doesn't know how to move on to the next when you quit it.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I'm sure somebody will figure it out on the forums, so maybe I'll have it working next week. I did want to give one tip for anybody that's trying to use Plex Arcade. I mentioned last week that you have to download the cores yourself and then like set up a mapping XML file to tell it which cores go to which platform. Well, one of the employees at Plex wrote an Electron app called Core Manager, and I found it in the forums, and so I'm going to link to that forum post, which has the GitHub link in it, and it's for Windows and macOS. And what it allows you to do is you just go on there and you search for what core you want, and you click it and you install it, and it sets up the mapping file for you and puts it in the right directory. So it makes like setting up Plex Arcade a lot easier.
Cool.
It sounds like they're getting some good community buy-in. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, I think the people that want it to work, you know, are the people that are passionate about it. So they're, you know, trying to get it figured out, and I am too, but I'm just not going to spend hours on it every day. I'll let somebody else do that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Cause you know, hopefully with they can prove the community buy-in, they can get more support for it and get more games and to the moon. Which, speaking of moon, I wanted to talk this week about Amazon's Luna service. Have you guys, I know Adam, you've played it as well, so I'd like to get your thoughts and impressions and, you know, games you've liked, that kind of thing. Ryan, have you seen all the games and all the speculation around it and everything?
No, I saw what was it, a couple months ago or whenever they announced it. So I know it's a gaming streaming service from Amazon, but that's it.
Yeah. So right now it's, I guess kind of a closed beta, but you can request an invite to it. And it took me like, I think it was a week and a half and after I had signed up to get it. So it doesn't take long if, you know, I'm sure that there's a variance there. They probably just kind of randomly pick stuff.
Yeah, it took me a month.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, so basically it's a streaming gaming service similar to Stadia or GeForce's Nvidia's, what is it, GeForce Go or whatever they call it. GeForce Now service. Hosted within AWS, of course. And they have two different levels. They have the Luna Plus and then the Ubisoft Plus versions. And so with the Luna Plus, it's $5 a month right now during the beta. And then if you want to add the Ubisoft, it's an additional $14.99 a month. But you can add those at any time. Like you can start one and then add the other one. But it looks like currently with the two, it's about 50 games that are available. So everything from like Overcooked to Far Cry, quite a few games. We'll have a link to a list of all that fun stuff in the show notes. But yeah, so I tried it out. I'll say that getting it working was a little bit of a task. And I say that because I didn't have like an Xbox controller, so I had to buy one. Well, I went ahead and bought the latest and greatest Series X controller, not realizing that Apple does not have the driver support for it yet on any of the devices. So
it's in all the current betas, I think, right now.
Yep, yep. So I had to set it up, which on the laptop, like you can play mouse and keyboard, like it was fine, or just some of the games keyboard. But yeah, it was pretty funny. So I had to get the latest iPad OS beta, get that running, and then get my controller working to be able to even try it out. But once I did, I tell you what, it's pretty great. Some games definitely have some lag and that make them less playable. I wouldn't say they're like not playable, but definitely some lag that I was seeing. And again, this is wireless. And so I was pretty impressed with it. Definitely looked good. Right now it's 1080p with up to 60 hertz. And then they're going to roll out 4K eventually. But yeah, it definitely got working. Of course, with a beta iPad OS, you know, hack in there. And then other apps broke for me. So a little frustrated, but that's fine. It was good to be able to test it out and play some games. Yeah, so really cool game so far. I think they said around 100 games are looking around launch, or 70 to 100 games, something like that. And then just continue to add to it. So,
well, I would say, so I've been kind of long time going into the streaming service still, because I had the Nvidia Shield, the handheld one, what had the little flip screen on the controller, and they had Nvidia Grid, which was kind of the Kickstarter for a lot of this stuff. And it was a little choppy then, but it worked. And as time went on, they really worked on it a lot, it seemed. So Nvidia GeForce Now, when that came out, that was solid. I was part of the beta set for that one, and I loved it. That was, because so far, I'll go ahead and put it out. I've tried Luna. I've tried, what's the other one?
Stadia. Okay.
I didn't try Stadia. Hang on. I'm trying to think. What's the, oh, xCloud. So xCloud. Luna, xCloud, and GeForce Now. I like xCloud because the game service across the board follows you, the progression on your Xbox, all that stuff. And if you have Game Pass or the PC, it follows you there too. So accessibility-wise, the xCloud is the absolute best. But far as performance, GeForce Now was the absolute best. What killed them, though, because I was 100% sold on it first. The Blizzard games were there. Bethesda's games were there. And then they had their issues with, I guess they didn't get permission or something with those titles being in the beta. So they all pulled out. So now none of those are part of the service anymore. That killed it. That 100% killed it for me, because there's not a whole lot left in there. Because what really sold them over Stadia, because I kind of got to a crossroad and I was like, yeah, I'm totally going to do GeForce Now, because they were using games that you already owned. You did not have to repurchase the game. Stadia wanted you to repurchase those games just for that platform. And obviously xCloud doesn't require it either, because they're all part of the Game Pass. So I was never motivated to even try Stadia because of that purpose there. Now for the Luna part, I did the Ubisoft Connect. I have that service, so I went ahead and tested some of those games. I'm really big into Immortals Phoenix Rising right now, and I've been cross-platforming that one. So I test that one mainly on this platform, and it ran really well. I didn't have any issues you had, because I have a Windows machine, and the Xbox controller worked perfectly fine. But the service itself did run really well. I didn't have one of the main things I always see is audio latency and choppiness on audio more than I do visual. It was wireless as well, 5G, of course. But it's not as refined as what GeForce Now was. Now, it'll probably elevate like crazy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But did you get to try it on your phone or any mobile?
So I've done it on both my MacBook Pro and on my iPad Pro. So very similar performance on both. The issue was controller lag. So there was latency in the controller, which literally could be because I'm running beta and this, you know, support isn't fully there. Not sure yet.
You got to buy the Luna controller.
It's basically an Xbox controller, if you look at it.
Yeah, but I thought there was something with it where it, like, it communicated directly to the service.
Yeah, it goes through your phone. I guess there's an app. I haven't looked specifically into it, just because I was like, I'm not going to buy the Luna controller because I want Xbox, because then it's, you know, more expandable for the future and that kind of thing.
Now, you're right. There is a Luna controller app on the phone for that peripheral, but I do, it would be kind of hard to think that that controller would remove some of that latency. Cause I have seen controller latency with all the platforms. Just depends on your connection and how that goes at that point in time. But there again, I will stand by the GeForce Now was the most solid experience.
And just to clarify, it's not Project X Cloud anymore, right? It's Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
It's still called X Cloud. I guess it's still considered beta at the moment as part of it. But whenever I launch even the apps and stuff on the phone, you open up Game Pass, but it's still, when you launch it, it comes up as X Cloud.
Oh, because if you go to Project X Cloud, it says Project X Cloud Preview. Cloud gaming is now with Xbox Game Pass. Preview is now closed.
Yeah. It's just called Cloud Gaming Beta with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. That's what they're
cool. Good name, Microsoft.
Yeah. Love those marketers over there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very interesting on some of the naming conventions for sure.
So one thing to clarify for me, because I have not really looked into the cloud gaming beta with Xbox Ultimate Game Pass Ultimate thing. So do you have to own the games, or are you literally just paying for the Game Pass? And then similar to with Luna, like, you get access to those with that price.
You pay for the Game Pass, and whatever is included in Game Pass, you'll have it on your consoles, you'll have it on your PC, you'll have it on your phone, for the ones that support it, obviously. Because not everything that's on the Game Pass for the console is on the PC and vice versa.
Because to me, when I look at streaming service for gaming in general, I think it's going to be hard to get people to buy in with something like what Stadia was trying to do, where you'd have to purchase the games, have to basically all over again in some cases. Instead, I think the subscription model works really well. It works really good for me. Like, I like that model. As someone who's more casual, especially, to where I can kind of, you know, hey, it's got these games, I like these games, these are fun to play, and I can just, you know, pay that small monthly fee, relatively small monthly fee, and get access to all that and be wherever I want to go. That's, to me, that's what's really nice about all these.
So on the accessibility piece, though, what makes the Xbox side of it attractive is the fact that your saves and such follow you between all your platforms, so you don't have to pick up in a weird spot. So to me, if Stadia was going to have you repurchase the game, I think it would have made sense if they were providing it as like a hybrid, where some functional files of that game was to be stored on the device so it would run better. That would make more sense to me to pay for it again, because, you know, license, and you're kind of getting that data to sit on your machine.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I wanted to go back to the Luna controller. I was just kind of poking around, and there's a PC Mag review for it, and it has a direct Wi-Fi connection that reduces the input lag by like 10 to 30 milliseconds. Yeah, 17 to 30 milliseconds. And it also, since it connects directly to Wi-Fi, you don't have to pair it with your device. So you can, like, you can play it on your Amazon, like, Fire Stick or your browser or your tablet. So you wouldn't have had to install the beta run of iOS, because it would have just connected directly to the Luna service. And
those controllers kind of snuck out, too. There for a long time, you couldn't get a hold of them.
Yeah, they say the Amazon Luna controller is technically an optional accessory for the service, but we consider it a must-have device if you wish to play games through Amazon's cloud. Factor in its impressive general gaming chops, and the Amazon Luna controller rides high in Editor's Choice award-winning gamepad.
Nice.
Yeah, again, yeah, I mean, the reason for me was to have more extendability, because then it's like, I want to be able to use it, like, if I want to try out the Xbox gaming service, right? And then I already have the controller, be good to go. And I think the support will get there, and they'll find ways of reducing lag and latency with other controllers and stuff. I mean, I think that is great. I think a direct Wi-Fi connection is a great way to solve that. And good on them to like think that through of let's design a controller to reduce the piece here. And that way, number one, hey, we'll get everyone to buy our controllers. That's smart.
Yeah, because basically by directly connecting to the Luna service, you're removing all Bluetooth input latency, which is about 17 to 30 milliseconds.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, for me, overall, it's been good. Got our oldest daughter playing some games, and I could totally hear every bit of that, Ryan. it's been good. I've been able to get our oldest, she's 4, to get playing some games, and typically like games for her, or whatever. She doesn't really care, but there's some cutesy games that they have available that she finds fun, and you know, we could just sit and hang out and do that for a little bit of time. And there's definitely some other games, like, I mean, they have Resident Evil, they have, you know, Far Cry, they have all these other games that are nice. I was playing some tennis, which was fun because I like tennis, and pretending that I'm good at it is always a good time.
So, any final thoughts on the Luna? Adam? Ryan?
Check it out. It's worth it if you can get a free beta.
Yep. Give it a shot.
All right. The next thing we've got in here is, Adam, tell me about this Zelda Netflix adaptation.
Yeah, there's been a lot of recent talks over with the Nintendo trying to work out some sort of series on Star Fox and Zelda for, I guess they were shorts. I'm not sure if they were like a full-on like story episodes. I think they may have been shorts because the first one for Star Fox, I believe, was like a claymation set. And then in that same structure, they were talking about possibly a live-action Zelda series and such. And as they were going through making the claymation part for Star Fox, I guess some people at Netflix maybe leaked the idea of what was going on. And in a nutshell, it got back to Nintendo. Nintendo did not like the idea that the data was out there at all, so they pulled the plug on all of it. So at this point, it doesn't look like we're going to have any live-action Zelda in the interim or anytime soon, which is disappointing because I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, you know, they could easily make a movie or series with Zelda and just be original. They don't have to remake or anything or do anything from a game, because every game is obviously a little bit of a new story. They could have made something really neat.
So what was, like, did Nintendo just get upset? Is that the deal? Is it just don't want people to leak stuff, which obviously, like, no one wants to leak anything. But a lot of times, Apple has had plenty of leaks over the years and other companies, but they've still gone ahead with it. So what was, did they kind of give the details of, like, why they didn't do that, or?
They're pretty hypersensitive, in my opinion, when it comes to their media. I know there was a lot of stuff that happened to the YouTubers and such that was using media from their games and such of that nature. I think they're just hypersensitive. I think they seen that, and it probably seemed they like to be surprising. They like to come out with stuff on their own terms and have that element of surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, if it's your intellectual property, you want to be able to control the narrative around it and the marketing. And, you know, as soon as someone else has that information, it becomes almost impossible, right, to control it and really build up the hype that you want and how you want.
Yeah, it was described in the Wall Street Journal as Game of Thrones for a family audience.
That's good. I like that.
I mean, I would have been interested. I love Zelda. It's been a long thing for me for many years, so it would have been really cool to see something like that happen. And honestly, no one's really saying much about it, but I'd have been really interested in Claymation Star Fox.
Yeah, that could be cool. I've always been a fan of Star Fox. That'd be neat to see that.
I want a Wes Anderson-directed Star Fox movie.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So speaking of Nintendo, cool story that came out. And I kind of wanted to start a semi-regular segment for the pod here, which I'm calling Moment of Good. Just something to highlight every now and again. Good news and good things around the world and good people just doing things for others, or, you know, those kinds of stories.
As a diversion from all of the negativity in the news today.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, because...
Diversion.
There's plenty of things in the world that make us down. There's not a lot that can lift you up. And so for this week, I wanted to go look at this story about a 20-year-old guy who, if you've been following the news around the stock market, there was some fun had by some Redditors at the expense of some hedge funds with GameStop stocks, GameStonk, I guess is what, I don't know. It's funny. Cultures are funny, right?
No. Nope.
Reddit culture is hilarious to me because I don't fully get it, but whatever. I guess I'm an old man. But yeah, this 20-year-old guy made some good money with this coordinated effort, which I won't get into all the details on that, but look it up. I'm sure everyone's either heard murmurs about what's happened. Quite awesome, honestly, from my perspective, pretty funny. And of course, it shows a lot of things wrong with different economic things. But I digress. This gentleman decided that, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take this good fortune that has been thrust upon me and spread that love. And so he purchased, 6 Nintendo Switches and a bunch of games to donate to Children's Minnesota Hospital in Minneapolis to give the kids, you know, good boost and something fun to look forward to. Assuming, you know, a lot of kids in there for cancer treatments and different kinds of illnesses that are there for, you know, you can be there for days at a time doing those kinds of treatments. So really cool thing to give back to the kids from someone who's, you know, benefited from games, right? Like, it's a cool little tie-in. And such a random little way to get some money and, you know, use that for some really good. So thought that would cheer everyone up. Maybe, you know, spread a smile around.
Or maybe even influence.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good to see that.
Distract them, get them away from the downside of life.
Yeah, exactly. It's good all around, right? It's good for those kids. Happy for this guy who made some extra coin and didn't just squander it, right? Like a lot of people do. Actually went and said, you know what? I'm going to make some people happy. And that makes me happy.
And this has been your moment of good. All right. Well, Adam, you've got some game recommendations for us this week, right?
Yeah. We got a couple other things coming down the pipe. I wanted to tell you all about Cyber Shadow and Mass Effect Legendary Edition. One thing, I mean, this will be kind of quick, just kind of rolling over, but the Cyber Shadow, it is a game created by Yacht Club, and if anyone has played Shovel Knight, you will know who these people are, because they're awesome. The Shovel Knight series stuff that they put together on it is great. It's the music's good. The gameplay's fun. It's very retro style. And it's a knight with the shovel. It was goofy. But this one is you play as a ninja that's trying to somewhat like the revenge story. His clan's kind of gone and you're coming back in to regain a little bit of what was lost. The music is excellent in it. The gameplay is difficult, but definitely something you guys should check out. Have you guys even played Shovel Knight before?
Oh, yeah. I played a ton of Shovel Knight on the Switch. It's a great game. It's the only third-party game that has its own... what are those? Not Wiimotes. What are those things called?
Amiibos? Is that what it is? Amiibos, yeah.
Amiibos. Yeah, it's the only third-party game with its own Amiibo, right? I think.
Game, yes. Third-party character, not so much because all the Smash Bros. Ones, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a really cool series. And then on the Mass Effect piece, have you guys played that one at all?
Nope.
Never played one Mass Effect game.
Well, you guys have got to check the trilogy out. It was an awesome set. But now you get to try it in a remastered form with all the DLC. And I believe they're upgrading some of like the control mechanisms and kind of new aging some of the details of the older games. Because I can tell you, the first one out of the series was like the hardest one to get people past in the bump. Because it was very clunky. It was very much like if you ever played the Witcher series, the first one in that one was difficult to move past. But 2 and 3 were excellent. They were great games. The bond of the characters, the voice acting, they were excellent sets. So coming in May, they're coming out with a trilogy pack and all of it in there. You guys should check it out.
What platforms is it on?
I know it's on PC, and I believe it's going to be on PS5 and Xbox One. Series X and S. One. Another great naming convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend playing both of those games for sure.
Thanks for listening. Go to diversion.fm to subscribe and listen weekly in your podcast player of choice. If you like the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again, and see you next week. All right, say goodbye, everybody.
Till next time.
See you.